Blog Talk Radio.
Skyrocketing healthcare and insurance costs. Extremely modest gains against chronic disease. Thousands die yearly due to drug reactions. What can be done? Thomas Edison is quoted as declaring, "The doctor of the future will give no medicine, but interest his patients in diet and nutrition, exercise, in the care of the human frame. He will teach them about the cause of all disease." The doctors of the future are here. Welcome to Phase 3 Wellness with your host, Keith Henry, ND, one of the doctors of the future.
Hi, and welcome to Phase 3 Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. Thank you for joining me today on this evening here, this first day of June 2014. I enjoy you. For listening. I'd like to let you know we have a very exciting show, interesting show for you today. I'd like to welcome all of my listeners from wherever you may be listening from, my friends over in Costa Rica, my listeners out in Glendale, California, and wherever else you may be listening from. I'd like to welcome you. We have a very interesting show. If you are listening online at your desktop computer or either any device, if you go there at blog.radio.com/phase3wellness, we also have the chat room open. So if you want to ask a question or make a comment via the chat room, you can do so. Sometimes I know people don't necessarily like to call in. So then some people can call in. You can also call in if you like with a question or a comment. You can do that at 917-889-2207. That's 917-889-2207. Now we have, as you can see, our main topic today we have in the title. We ask the question, is there any connection between bras and breast cancer? Also, we're going to talk about your blood type. We're also going to talk about a little bit of some of the fallout of Obamacare. In our healing food section, we're going to talk about some of the best superfoods known to man on earth. There's no doubt other things, herbs and foods that we not necessarily understand all the components of why they're so healthy. We might not even have discovered them yet. But of some of the ones that we know, we're going to talk about some of the most efficacious ones on the planet. And finally, we're going to talk a little bit about cat's claw and our healing herb, healing supplement section. If you're a first-time listener, what we do, we follow an outline. The first segment, we talk about the Week in National News Review is what we call it, and that's where we talk about articles that have come out dealing specifically with natural remedies or natural medicine or some news article that deals with natural remedies, and we discuss, talk about, or analyze, whichever word you desire to use, these articles, and we're going to be doing three of them today in the first segment. And then we move on to the healing food segment, a very popular segment where we talk about the benefits of a particular food or group of foods. Today we'll be talking about more than one food. We'll be talking about some of the superfoods, as we've talked about some before. And lastly, we talk about a healing herb or healing supplement. And today that will be cat's claw. Again, if you'd like to call in with a question or a comment, you can do so at 917-889-2207. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. I'm going to take a quick break, and after this break, we're going to come back, and we're going to get started right away. Just back in just a moment.
You're listening to Phase 3 Wellness with Dr. Keith Henry. Be sure to listen right here every week at the same time. You can also visit Dr. Henry on Facebook at facebook.com/naturedoc. Thanks for listening, and here's to your health.
How do you feel? No, really. How do you feel? Do you feel lively? Are you bursting with energy? Or do you feel run down and suffer from a lack of energy most of the time? Have frequent colds, aches and pains of one sort or another? The fact of the matter is that most people in America are not well. But you can begin to change all of that today by simply visiting the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog of Keith Henry, ND, at www.phase3ministries.com/wordpress. Go there now and explore the wealth of amazing wellness information. That's www.phase3ministries.com/wordpress, the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog.
Welcome back to Phase 3 Wellness. Thank you for listening. I am your host, Dr. Keith Henry. We're starting off the show in our first segment, the Weekend Natural News Review, and we're going to get started with our first article. And our first article this week is going to be coming from naturalnews.com, one of my favorite sites. Also, I have a couple of, maybe three or four articles I've also published as a contributing author on that site. This site gets about 7 million unique views per month. That's a lot of people who visit this site. Again, it's naturalnews.com with the health ranger, Mike Adams. Our first article is going to come from that site, and it's entitled, I think we had a couple of them from that site today. This particular article is entitled, first let me tell you what it's about. It's talking about the health insurance company CEOs and their total compensation and how the Obamacare plan was associated with this, some of the fallout. And while many other people, as we talked about before, having problems paying these premiums. Now, the article is entitled, Health Insurance Corporate CEOs Rake in Millions While the Masses Can Barely Afford. I wouldn't say that this is solely because of Obamacare, and he doesn't really say that either in this particular article, or the author doesn't. But what I wanted to point out in this particular article is that what they point out in this particular article is just looking at some of the, in terms of healthcare, how healthcare could be brought down if we would just interject natural remedies, alternative medicine. And there wouldn't have been a need in many cases for even to pass a law called Obamacare because we wouldn't even had such skyrocketing healthcare costs. But let's look at the article, and the author starts out by saying one of the consequences of Obamacare, and the article is by Mike Adams. He says, one of the consequences of Obamacare, he writes, is that health insurance company profitability is soaring, causing corporate CEOs of health insurance companies to pocket millions of dollars in annual salaries and bonuses. And it's true. If you have to stop, I'm going to stop and talk about this for a second. One of the things you have to remember is that although many middle class people had chosen not to have health care insurance, because they recognized that it would put a burden on their maybe pay. Most Americans live in paycheck to paycheck. Many of them live in paycheck to paycheck, even in the middle what's considered middle class households. And so what happens here is if you're barely making it, you know, if you have your car payment, your mortgage payment, your children in school or whatever, and if you're barely making it paycheck to paycheck, and you may say you maybe be able to, you're able to put maybe $100 aside a month in savings. If you have to now pay for insurance, and if you checked out any of the prices under the on Obamacare, if you fall in that range of, say, $50,000 to $60,000 a year, even $70,000 a year, most of the prices that you're going to be paying are $300, $400, $500 a month in that range. Now, if you were only able to set aside $100 a month because you were living paycheck to paycheck, and now you have to come up with an additional $300 or $400 a month that you didn't have to pay for before, of course, that could be a burden. Now, by the same token, I can understand it's not fair for everyone else to pay for someone's lifestyle who chooses to live an unhealthy lifestyle, who chooses not to have health care insurance, and then they go to the emergency room and the rest of us have to pay for it. So that is a legitimate concern. And so as this article points out further, Mike Adams says that nevertheless, the CEOs of these healthcare companies, of these insurance companies, who the law was in part meant to punish because they were denying people's claims, even if they had paid out this money, they are the ones who ended up being ultimately, at least the CEOs in many cases, and probably the higher level management, being a beneficiary, as he points out in this particular article. He says, this is what happens, he says, when the government colludes with private industry to force the entire population to purchase a for-profit product that many don't want or need. He says, sales skyrocket and profits hit for the stratosphere. And he goes on to say in this article, that's why CEOs of the nation's largest health insurance companies are raking in record salaries right now, earning as much as $90,000 per day. And then he lists a few of the CEOs of these major insurance companies. First, he lists Mark Bertolini, who is the CEO of Aetna, and he brings in $30.7 million. He has brought in $30.7 million, which he says that's a 131% increase over his 2012 compensation, which averages out to about $90,029 per day. Next, he lists Joseph Swedish, who is the CEO of WellPoint, who makes his compensation is $17 million, which averages out to about $49,853 per day. Then he mentions Michael Neerdorf, CEO of Centen, which his compensation is $14.5 million a year, averages out to about $42,560 per day. Then he mentions David Cordani, CEO of Cigna, makes about $13.5 million a year, which averages out to about $39,598 per day. Stephen Hemsley, CEO of United Health, he makes about $12.1 million a year, which averages out to about $35,484 per day. And then he mentions Bruce Broussard, CEO of Humana, who makes $8.8 million a year, which averages out to about $25,807 per day. He goes on to say, it begs the question, is any corporate executive really worth $90,000 per day? He says that's nearly three times the average annual salary of a U.S. worker, and the CEO earns this every day. So the average salary, the average annual salary of the U.S. worker is, I guess, between $35,000 or $40,000. And he's pointing out that the highest paid of these CEOs, the CEO, Mark Bertolini, of Aetna, he's bringing down about three times that amount in a day than the average American worker would bring down in a year. So it is interesting to look upon. He goes on to say, what contribution could one human being possibly make to a company that could justify this? Then he goes on to say in his article, if you're wondering where all this money is coming from, he says it's coming out of the pockets of all the people who are forced to buy health insurance. He says, and the trend is only getting worse as health insurance premiums have shot skyward under Obamacare for all but the lowest income subsidized enrollees. He says that more and more middle class workers and families are really discovering health insurance is flatly unaffordable. He says it's driving American families, small businesses, and even cities and towns into bankruptcy, forcing Americans to buy the product, he says, didn't make the product any cheaper. He says, in fact, prices shot through the roof even while insurance companies increased their health care payment denials for cancer patients, leaving many patients out in the cold, dying from disease, even though they had paid their premium. So this is another thing that the plan was purportedly designed to prevent, and that was to force the insurance companies to pay up the premiums of people, honor the claims of people who had been paying their premiums for years and years and years, and then when they developed a disease, they were finding ways basically not to pay them. Which, if you have to understand this, any corporation, listen very, very carefully, any public corporation, let me put it that way, if you didn't know this, whether it be a pharmaceutical company who are in the business of providing drugs, whether it be an insurance company, the main goal of any public company, any company in general, but by law, all public companies must make a profit. That is the number one reason that they are in business. They're not in business because they like you. I'm not saying that to say that everyone in the insurance company, everyone in a particular industry, is not it's callous. But you have to understand the number one reason for that insurance company or for that pharmaceutical company to be in business, and they're required by law, if they're a public corporation, to make a profit. Period. So when you watch the commercials where have the men and the women and the families and the impression is that they really care about you, that they may and they may not. That's, if they do, it's secondary. The fact of the matter is that the number one goal is not that they care about your health. The number one goal is that they need and want to make a profit. Now, let me say there's nothing wrong with being in business. There's nothing wrong with making a profit. You just need to understand from a perspective of health that you and I need to take control of our own health. We need to be proactive. We need to understand healing instead of just treating disease. Because as long as we don't understand healing, then we're giving away to a great extent our civil liberties to not this time necessarily to the government, but to a corporation or to a group of individuals who don't necessarily have our best interests in mind primarily. And neither necessarily should they. We should take control for our own health. Now, they shouldn't be deceptive if they're going to go into a business that's claiming to offer health care and is claiming to help people, then that should be what they should be doing. So as we go forward here in this article, Mike Adams goes on to say further, he says, many who supported Obamacare in the first place are now highlighting these corporate CEO salaries as justification for shifting to a national single-payer health care system that completely removed for-profit companies from the equation. He says, further, a government-run health care system, they say, will be more affordable and will eliminate the profit-taking of insurance companies. He says, but they forget the example of the VA hospital system, the perfect model of government-run health care and a system steeped in corruption and criminality. He says, under the VA system, thousands of U.S. veterans were denied desperately needed health care services by being put on secret waiting lists, kept off the books. He says, for many veterans, the wait time to see a doctor, even for a serious health emergency, exceeded 100 days. Now, I know when I was over in Costa Rica and doing some consultations, some of the people told me over there similar stories because they're basically on a socialistic type of healthcare system, and they relate to me similar stories. Now, I'm not here to say that everything about Obamacare is bad. I'm not here to say that everything about it is good. I'm simply stating the facts. I think there are some good things about it. I think there are some bad things about it. It could have been a better law. And so, essentially, I don't think it has done so far what it was designed or at least purportedly designed to do. Nevertheless, he goes on to say in this article, as the New York Daily News reports, quote, at least 1,700 veterans were victims of apparently rigged lists that concealed their wait times for appointments at the Phoenix VA hospital, according to a report Wednesday that had called for the VA security to resign. The VA secretary to resign. The 35-page report focused on allegations of mismanagement and cooking the books at the troubled Phoenix VA hospital. It comes after years of similar government reports of chronically long wait times for vets around the country. Further, in dissecting the cases of 226 vets, the watchdog found that their average actual wait was 115 days, even though the hospital records claimed they waited an average of 24 days for their first primary care appointment. The investigation began after it was alleged that more than 40 vets died while waiting for appointments in Phoenix. So basically what he's saying here is that if you want to see a single-payer system in action, just look at the VA system of hospitals, and you look at what has been done in them, and you look at what really happens. So, you know, we don't have to invent think about or guess how would a single payer system be. We have a model to look upon, and we can see that it's not working out too well. He goes on to say a national government run healthcare system would see this kind of corruption and criminality expanded to every hospital nationwide. He says while the White House and mainstream media would claim Americans are receiving first rate healthcare services, the ugly truth would be long wait times, denied medical services, and nationwide deaths while people are waiting to see the doctor. Then he says the real solution to skyrocketing healthcare costs is to change the course of the entire nation on issues of health, medicine, and nutrition. He says no nation, he says, can ever afford to keep paying for a population that's increasingly sick and diseased. No pharmaceutical has ever prevented or cured any chronic disease. And this is true. We have to understand. No prevented or cured any chronic disease. Never forget that. He says further, and doctors aren't even trained in how to teach patients healthy living habits based on nutrition, exercise, sensible sunshine exposure, and avoidance of toxins. He goes on to say further, the real way to lower health care costs is to teach healthy living habits to the population. And I concur, and that's one of the reasons for this show, is that if you want to lower your health care costs, if you want to take control of your health, and therefore also of your pocketbook, your finances and your health. One of the best things we can do is learn how to treat ourselves, is to learn nutrition, is to learn those laws of health to talk about on here. Number one, trust in the Creator. Number two, exercise, water, air, rest, diet, and self-control or temperance. If you learn the scientific application of these, if you live them out in your daily life, you will be far healthier than the average person is now that's not following them. In fact, it would typically add to your life years. Now, he goes on to say in this article, the real way to lower healthcare costs, again, is to teach healthy living habits to the population. He says if government and media promoted vitamin D, fresh foods, and avoidance of chemicals rather than pushing more drugs, pesticides, and vaccines for everything under the sun, healthcare costs would plummet. He says that is, of course, exactly why such strategies are never pursued. The healthcare industry is a so clinics need to repeat business. He goes on to say nearly 25% of the entire U.S. economy depends wholly on the continuation of sickness and disease. Now, it is often the case when we have these types of discussions, people who work in the healthcare industry as it is today, who make a lot of money, whose livelihood is based on that system, go off into a rage. And it's not that they're bad people, but it's that anytime you have so many years invested into a particular system, and your livelihood is based off of that system, then of course you're going to have an emotional response to anything that tends to challenge that system, even if the things that are being proposed can actually make the system better. Because what happens in the human mind is that fear and prejudice will pop up. And the fear, these are strong emotions, and strong emotion is the enemy of reason. And so it becomes impossible for some people to reason. Not for everyone, but many people will become angry, and they will become very bent out of shape, not because the information is wrong or erroneous, but simply because it's a natural psychological response to something that they believe would tend to threaten their livelihoods. And I would tell you this, there are many people who have worked in this system that I know personally in the healthcare system and who were very ardent believers and were very opposed to any of the natural health. And when they perhaps developed a chronic disease and they realized that the system could not help them, they have gone over to natural alternative medicine to try to find a solution. When the system that they so ardently defended is found in many cases to not be able to help them. That's not to say that the healthcare system that we have does not have its place. It does have its place. But as I've said on here many times before, natural medicine, or what we call natural alternative medicine, should be the primary, and what we call allopathic medicine should be the secondary, especially in terms of chronic disease. Now, when it comes to trauma care, et cetera, we have probably the best healthcare system in the world. I have the highest regard and highest respect for surgeons and, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But the fact of the matter is this. The pharmaceutical companies, the insurance companies, and some of the other power players there have a death grip on the schools, on the information that's put out. And as a result, even the doctors in schools can't be trained in alternative methods. And if they were, I'm sure that they would be very, 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 very efficient, because most of them are very intelligent. And so as he goes on to say in this article, the health ranger, Mike Adams, he goes on to say in closing out, he says, because we live in a system that, because nearly 25% of the entire U.S. economy depends wholly on the continuation of sickness and disease, he says, that's why our children are taught to eat sugary food and adults are taught to take a pill instead of taking charge of their health. He says that's why health insurance usually doesn't cover disease prevention services like chiropractic care, acupuncture, or nutritional coaching. He says, Father, the system doesn't want you to be healthy. It wants you to be a source of never-ending profit. He goes on to say, after all, these companies have to cough up as much as $90,000 a day just to pay their own CEOs. He says, do you honestly think they could collect that money from a population in a state of optimal health? He makes some very, very good points there. And so, again, it is very important that we understand and take charge of our health. We only have one life. The Creator has given us, he's given us information. He's given us the blessing of life and health. He's given us the capacity to reason from cause to effect. And it's just a matter of reasoning from cause to effect. Why, for instance, if you've been diagnosed as a diabetic, why should you have, if allopathic medicine was so efficient at treating chronic disease, why would you have to, if you were diagnosed as a diabetic, why would you have to stay on diabetic medication for life? If it was so efficient, shouldn't it heal you? Shouldn't it cure you? Even if you had to stay on it for a year, you should ultimately be cured at some point. There's people who've been on diabetic medication, insulin, for years and years and years and years, 10, 20, 30, 40 years. It's an ongoing profit stream. And think about it. And most businesses, if you had an ongoing profit stream, you don't want that profit stream to dry up, and their business is not even any different. So I'm just saying that to say, understand, it's not that we have, in terms of the allopathic system, that it's a superior system of treatment. It's just that it's a superior system of profit. And as a result, when they have the type of money that they have, they can influence and pay for politicians and laws, et cetera. So just understand that when you're talking, having discussions about this, or when you're thinking about it, just remember our healthcare system has its place, but so does the naturopathic or the homeopathic or the alternative, what's called alternative medicine. It could literally drop our health. Dr. Keith Henry, you're listening to Phase 3 Wellness. We go in our first segment called the Weekly Natural News Review. Our second article is also from naturalnews.com, but it's written by Paul Fasser, and it is entitled The Breast Cancer Linked to Bras. Now, I know some years ago I was reading through the Natural Medicine Encyclopedia, and they had an article in there about the danger, potential danger of wearing bras, especially if you're wearing for 12 hours a day, women who wear bras basically all day and sometimes all night as well. And this article kind of goes along that same line of thought, and it was published on May 30th, which was on Friday. And the author starts off by telling us that he said that the birth of feminism in the late 60s and early 70s featured young women burning bras as a counterpoint to young men burning their draft cards. And he goes on to say that bra burning was a social statement. He says that now there's more discussion regarding the medical merits of those demonstrations. He says, ironically, it was an American woman who invented the bra around the turn of the 20th century, according to Ken L. Smith, a health educator and breast health facilitator for the American Cancer Society. He says, up until the beginning of the 20th century, corsets were what made women exhibit that desired hourglass figure and inadvertently pushed up the bust line for fashionable clothing of that time. He said the problem was corsets mess with internal organs while shaping those hourglass figures, and their tightness resulted in women fainting easily and often. So again, we had in the past there, women were in search of this fad of having an hourglass figure, at least, and there's nothing wrong with that if you have it through exercise and natural health and staying healthy. But if you're going to try and force it through mediums, if you will, that tend to injure your body, injure your organs, that's not a good idea at all. Nevertheless, he goes on to say that in 1893, Marie Tusek made a breast supporter that looked like a modern brassiere. But later, he says, Mary Phelps Jacobs designed a better version and called it a brassiere. She patented and sold the patent to a company named Warner Brothers Corset Company in Bridgeport, Connecticut for $1,500. As a result, it caught on. He says, by the 1950s, teenage girls were urged to buy and use training bras to hold their breasts firmly in a desirable way and thereby prevent sagging. He says further that even the brassiere industry admits that the only time bras prevent sagging is while wearing them. So if you bought into the idea that you're going to buy a special bra that's going to help prevent your breasts from sagging, I'm here to tell you that that's not going to happen. And it's even admitted by the brassiere industry, as he points out in this article. He goes on to say further that Ken Smith suggests that using artificial breast support long enough will actually cause the breast cup shape's suspensory Cooper's ligament to atrophy. I mean, that means to shrink, allowing the breast to sag over time anyway, he says. Exercises that strengthen the pectoral muscles can actually be helpful. So if you want to help with that, you can get with someone to help you, maybe a personal trainer, a certified personal trainer, or someone, a health coach, to actually help you teach you how to do these pectoral muscle exercises to strengthen, which will actually help. He goes on to say it's recommended to use a one-piece sports bra for exercising. And some women use a one-piece sports bra as a healthier alternative to regular bras when they're not exercising. So again, that seems to be some help to it, is to wear a bra maybe at least the amount of time as possible. Say, for instance, if you go out to work and you wear a bra, and say you get home at 4 or 5 in the afternoon, maybe a good idea to take the bra off and leave the bra off until the next morning when you have to go off to work. So you're there, you're not keeping the bra on for 12, 13 hours a day or more. Now to the bras and breast health. He says the connection between wearing bras and painful and bothersome non-malignant breast fibrocystic disease as well as malignant breast cancer was hardly mentioned until the book Dress to Kill was published by researchers Sidney Ross Singer and Soma Grismeyer. And this book came out in 1995. Now, in this, what came out of this book, or the content in this book, came about because they surveyed 5,000 women, and they discovered that women who wore bras for 12 hours or more greatly increased their chances of breast cancer risk compared to women who wore a bra less than 12 hours a day. The article was going to say further that Dr. Gregory Hay of Florida has found that over 90% of women with fibrocystic breast disease find improvement when they stop wearing their brassieres. He says there are case testimonies from breast fibrocystic disorder patients who realized this when they stopped or at least lessened the brassiere use. So the connection between breast tumors, non-malignant or malignant, and bras has merit when considering the lymph drainage issues from wearing bras too often. He said the lymph system, which includes lymph nodes in the breast, actually requires body movement to pump out the lymph nodes. Because the lymph nodes help pump out the accumulation of toxic waste and materials. So the lymph system is actually essentially almost like a second immune system. I mean, it works in such a way. These functions, the ultimate functions, have similar benefits. So I would even say that it's almost a second immune system to a degree. He goes on to say in this article, not only are breast movements inhibited by bras, thus restricting proper lymph node drainage, but the tight enclosures of bras constrict the breast and constrict lymph material flow. He says if a Florida doctor has observed 90% healing from fibrocystic breast disorders upon not wearing bras, with many other women offering testimony with positive results on their bra abstinence, it follows that wearing bras less or not at all helps prevent or can help prevent breast cancer. And so, interesting, I've done some research on that over the years, but I would highly suggest that you do some of your own research on this. It makes sense to me that bras worn for that amount of time, especially, could cause problems. And again, as pointed out in the article, one of the alternatives is to substitute, especially when you exercise, the sports bras, and even substitute those sports bras in the place of some of these bras that are not sports bras. Again, you are listening to Phase 3 Wellness. I am your host, Dr. Keith Henry. I'm going to take a quick break. I'll be back in just a moment. Thank you for listening. We'll continue on with our next. We'll still be in our first segment, but we'll continue on and we'll be talking about your blood type. Be back in just a second.
Do you know anyone that has health issues? Of course you do. Have you noticed the rise in popularity of natural therapies and alternative medicine? Sure you have. Have you ever wondered if alternative therapies work or if it's just all quackery? Then you need to visit the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog at phase3ministries.com/WordPress. Keith Henry, ND, is trained in natural naturopathy and provides amazing insight at the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog that he has gained from years of hands-on experience. Check it out after this show at phase3ministries.com/WordPress.
You're listening to Phase 3 Wellness with Dr. Keith Henry. Be sure to listen right here every week at the same time. You can also visit Dr. Henry on Facebook at facebook.com/naturedoc. Thanks for listening, and here's to your health.
Hi, and welcome back to Phase 3 Wellness. Thank you for listening, for joining me, wherever you may be joining me from in the world. I am your host, Dr. Keith Henry. We are still in our first segment where we are talking about the Week in Natural News Review. And we're going to go ahead to our third and final article in this segment. And this article is from Mercola.com. And it's talking about your blood type, and he asked, why can't you use blood from someone who has a different blood type than you? And he goes on to explain that everyone, there are four different blood types. So there's A, there's B, there's AB, and there's O. These types of blood types are actually inherited from your parents, like your eye color, your dimples, or your hair, etc., etc. Now, while all blood is similar in its components, such as red, all blood contains red cells, platelets, and plasma, it also has important characteristics that make it unique. And as he points out in his article as well, your blood type is determined by the presence or absence of two antigens, A and B, that reside on the surface of your red blood cells. There's also a third antigen called Rh factor. And it will either be present or absent. Antigens are actually substances that may trigger an immune response, causing your body to launch an attack if it believes that something has entered the body and that is foreign. So taken together, as Dr. Mercola points out, these factors determine the right type of blood for your body should you need a transfusion. So receiving the wrong type of blood can actually be catastrophic, even causing you to die. And then he cites blood transfusion and the immune system and saying, quote, if incompatible blood is given in a transfusion, the donor cells are treated as if they were foreign invaders and the patient's immune system attacks them accordingly. Not only is the blood transfusion rendered useless, but a potentially massive activation of the immune system and clotting system can cause shock, kidney failure, circulatory collapse, and even death. So here we have it called serious issues. So it's interesting how we've talked about the intelligence that the Creator has built into our body. And remember, one of the laws of health is trust in the Creator. And we talk about the intelligence that He's built into our body and how this intelligence is so very important, and how when you look at things like although all of us are humans, and it's interesting that all blood contains things like red blood cells, platelets, and plasma, yet they also have some important characteristics that make the blood unique. So it's interesting. And yet all blood is the same color. Finally, he points out in his article here that blood is a living tissue made up of red blood. So let me stop and say that too. Most people don't realize that the blood is actually a tissue. When we think of tissue, we don't typically think of blood, but actually it is. He says blood is a living tissue made up of red blood cells, white blood cells, platelets, and plasma, which is more than 90% water. That's right. This is why one of our health laws is water, because think about it for a moment. If your blood is 90% water and you're dehydrated, there are going to be problems. So this is why it's so crucial to understand those laws of health. He says your body weight is about 7% blood. Men have about 12 pints of blood in their body, while women have about 9. Blood's main role is to transport oxygen throughout your body, although it also plays a role in fighting off infections and carrying waste out of your cells. Then he points out some of the other things that your blood does. Your blood helps regulate your body's acidity, your pH levels. We've talked about the alkaline acid ratio in the body. It supplies essential nutrients such as glucose and amino acids to your cells. It transports hormones. It regulates your body temperature, increases blood flow to any area, adds warmth. It has specialized cells that promote blood clotting if you are bleeding. It has what's called, quote, hydraulic functions, helping men to maintain an erection, for instance. So here you have your blood has, as the Bible says, those of you who are familiar with the Bible, there's a text in the Bible in Leviticus that says the life of the flesh is in the blood. And it makes perfect sense. So, and most natural practitioners will understand that if the blood is dirty, you cannot have health. And that concept, this is another reason why when we talk about the laws of health, we talk about trusting in the Creator. Because you, as I said on here before, every modality that's based in natural medicine, all natural medicine, no matter where it comes from, has a spiritual element. Because natural practitioners understand you have to treat the whole man or the whole woman. So there has to be a spiritual element somewhere. And as I've said on here before, I choose to address the spiritual element from a Christian worldview and a Christian perspective, from a biblical worldview. And I know some people may get confused when I say Christian, because not all faith will necessarily follow the Bible, but I mean the biblical worldview, wherein like the example that I just gave, where I said in Leviticus it says that the life of flesh is in the blood. So I translate that as a practitioner and said, okay, if the life of flesh is in the blood, what is the Creator saying? What is He trying to tell me? How is the life of flesh in the blood? And I look over to science, and then I can understand how the life of the flesh is in the blood. Blood is crucial to life. And now Dr. Marcola goes on to say further, he says, it's not entirely true that you can't use blood from someone else who has a different blood type than you. However, he says, everyone can receive type O blood, which is the most common type in the U.S., as it has neither A nor B antigens on red cells and both A and B antibody in the plasma. So basically, he says, everyone can receive type O blood, and it's also the most common type in the United States. He says, beyond that, however, blood types must be carefully matched in order to avoid potentially deadly consequences. And first, he gives a breakdown before blood types. He says, type A, only the A antigen on red blood cells, B antibody in the plasma. It's the second most common blood type. Type B, only the B antigen on red blood cells, and A antibody in the plasma. It's relatively rare, especially among Hispanics and Caucasian. Type AB, both A and B antigens are on red cells, both A and B antibody in the plasma. Very uncommon. Only 7% of Asians, 4% of African Americans, 4% of Caucasians, and 2% of Hispanics have this blood type. So type AB is very, very uncommon. Then type O, neither A nor B antigens on red cells, both A and B antibody in the plasma, the most common blood type, especially among Hispanics. And so your blood type may be either positive or negative, depending on the presence or absence of Rh factor, which is about 85% of people are Rh positive. He says generally Rh positive blood receive Rh positive blood in transfusions. The Rh factor is generally tested during pregnancy, as an incompatibility between mother and fetus may cause the mother's body to attack the baby's foreign blood. He goes on to say Rh immune globulin is an effective treatment that can stop this attack if found early on. Now, he says further near the end of this article, and I'm moving through quickly because I'm running a little bit behind. He asks the question, why are there different blood types? And he goes on to point out that it's thought that different blood types develop as a way to help protect humans from infectious disease. He says, for instance, cells infected with malaria don't stick as well to the O type or type B blood cells, which means a person with type O blood may get less sick if they're infected with malaria than someone with a different blood type. Then he goes on to point out how, perhaps not coincidentally, regions with high burdens of malaria, such as Africa, also have a high rate of type O blood. said the fact that certain blood types are incompatible is likely the result of a mutation, he points out. And then he asked the question, which ties into to a popular book that was out some years ago, and he says, you may have heard about diets based on your blood type. I've gotten this question on more than one occasion in my practice as well. He says, you may have heard about diets based on your blood type, which claim that certain foods react in different ways in your body depending on your blood type. He says, I personally do not advocate such diets, and I personally do not advocate such diets either. If you look at, I think it was the book, it was published by Dr. D'Adamo, and it was called The Eat Right for Your Type, or something along those lines, or Eat Right for Your Blood Type. And some of the information in that book for certain people, but number one, it would contradict what I talk on here about the laws of health, and some of the information, some of the things that he recommended that you should consume. We know from consuming some of the things that he recommended, we know across all blood types that you can eat these things and have problems. No matter what your blood type, you can eat these foods on a consistent basis, and sooner or later, or no matter what your blood type, you live an unhealthy lifestyle, which would include eating bad foods without fail, you would get sick. So just some of those things that when it conflicts with those laws of health, there are going to be problems. And Dr. Marcola says further in this article, says, I believe one of the main reasons why most, he talks about him publishing the book. He says, I believe one of the main reasons why most support it is due to the fact that O is the most common blood type and calls for a severe grain restriction. He says, if you're a blood type A like myself, it can lead to severe problems. He says, I actually developed diabetes after following it for a short time. So my fasting blood sugar shot up to 126. Not only did it include eating large amounts of fruit for breakfast, but advocated mild exercise for blood type A. He says, so I cut down my exercise and increased my fruit intake, which resulted in a 20-pound weight gain and a diagnosis of diabetes. This is one of the reasons I am so passionate about my nutritional plan, he says. It is based on whole foods, nothing too extreme, and goes by the guiding principles to listen to your body and let it be your guide on which foods are best for you. Finally, he says at the end, someone in the U.S. needs blood every 2 seconds, so if you're up for doing a good deed, donating blood is a phenomenal choice. Says more than 41,000 blood donations are needed each day, but although about 38% of Americans are eligible to donate blood, less than 10% actually do so each year. He said the two most common reasons why people don't donate blood are fear of needles or simply not thinking about it. So good. I agree. If you are a person and you want to help someone and you're healthy enough to do so, by all means, don't hesitate to donate blood. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. I'd like to thank you for joining me. We have about 12 minutes left. We're going to pivot over to our healing food section. And hopefully we can get through this in about 10 minutes and get in about 5 minutes rather, and then get to our healing supplement, healing herb. I spent a little more time on that original section on our first segment than I intended to. But nevertheless, we will get here and maybe we can get this covered with respect to our healing foods. In our healing food segment, we wanted to talk about a few what we call superfoods, a few of them. And we've talked about one or two in the past, but if you combine these foods and eat them on a consistent basis with all the other laws of health that we talk about, these are some of the most powerful superfoods that we know to man on the planet. There are others, and I'm sure there are some that we've yet to discover, but they're power-packed. First, we look at aloe vera. Aloe vera has 20 minerals. It has 12 vitamins. It has 18 amino acids. It has 200 active plant compounds, what we call phytonutrients. It is a strong antibacterial, antiviral, and antifungal. Not only that, it has the capacity to ease inflammation as well as arthritic pain. It can heal ulcers as well as a wide variety of digestive disorders and complications. It treats candida and it treats parasites. It helps reduce heart attacks and stroke. And it also helps halt the growth of certain cancer tumors. That's aloe vera. So again, that's number one. That's one of your baddest superfoods on the planet. Number two, it's B vitamin. You may or may not have heard of bee pollen, but bee pollen is a rich source of carotenoids. It has 22 amino acids and enzymes. It's also a good source of your B vitamins. We've gone through the B vitamins, the B complex vitamins. We've talked about those, how important they are in past shows. If you have not listened, you can go back. All of our shows are here. They're archived. Just go through and click on the archives and just scroll down and listen. You can even download it to a CD and put it in your car and drive around and listen. I encourage you to give it to your friends, your family members, etc. Bee pollen also benefits, some of the other benefits of bee pollen include it helps to combat cancer and diabetes, arthritis, as well as depression. Now, you need to get with a knowledgeable healthcare coach or naturopathic doctor or someone who understands how to coach you on using these things in the right amounts to get any benefits that you want to achieve. Because many times, depending on what it is you're trying to do, you would need certain amounts, more amounts or less amounts. Bee pollen actually helps promote increase your strength and stamina. Also helps with your endurance and your energy levels. It actually helps to also increase your concentration and memory. It improves fertility and enhances sexual activity. It also increases resistance to infections. Maca is a very nutrient-dense superfood and is a complete source of amino acids. It's also rich in your B vitamins, vitamin C, it has vitamin E. It's also a good source of trace minerals such as copper, iron, potassium, calcium, magnesium, phosphorus, and zinc. Some of the benefits associated with it are it improves anemia, it can help reduce your chronic fatigue, it helps relieve stress and depression, it improves libido and fertility, it can help improve your adrenal function and help strengthen your memory. Goji berries. Goji berries contain 18 amino acids, they contain 21 trace minerals, they contain vitamin A, vitamin B complex, vitamin C, and vitamin E. And goji berries are actually a superior form of antioxidants. And some of the benefits of goji berries include significantly improving your immune function, protecting your DNA, protecting your eyes and your liver, reducing inflammation in your body, protecting your heart, and improve your mood, your overall mood, and your libido. And we'll close out with coconut. Which is another powerful superfood. Coconut is an excellent source of fatty acids. It includes lauric as well as caprylic acid, which actually destroy bacteria, viruses, and fungi. Coconut is also a very good source of B vitamins and a great source of copper, calcium, iron, manganese, magnesium, and zinc, all very, very crucial and important trace minerals. Some of the benefits of coconut include the improving of your immune system function, helps protect against brain-related disorders. It helps lower the risk of diabetes, reduces your joint and muscle inflammation. It can help strengthen your liver. It kills bacteria as well as parasites. It protects against cancer as well as other immune-related diseases, and it actually eases in acid reflux and promotes proper digestion. Coconut oil can also help wipe out candida in the body. So again, those are some of the things, some of the baddest, and there are many more that I could have mentioned, but we're out of time almost. We have about 7 minutes, and I want to get to our final segment, and we're going to move over to that segment now. Again, if you came into the show late or you didn't get all of the show, the replay will be available probably about 5 minutes after the show is over. Again, now the... In our final segment, we're going to go into the final segment now, which is our healing herb, healing supplement segment. And we're going to, as I mentioned before, discuss, we're going to have about 5 minutes here. We're going to be discussing cat's claw, which is an herb. Now, cat's claw is a very, very efficacious herb and very well known in natural medicine. The history of it is that it comes from the Peruvian Amazon. It's actually a tropical creeping vine, and it grows up and sometimes connects canopy trees, and it reaches a length of up to 100 feet or 30 meters. It is in the same plant family as coffee. But it's the bark of it that is used in herbal medicine. Now, it's used by the native peoples in South America as a contraceptive, but cat's claw is also anti-inflammatory. It's an anti-inflammatory agent rather and an immune stimulant. So it fights inflammation in the body, and it also stimulates the immune system. And it's you'll see it on in a lot of natural or herbal products for arthritis on the market. Now let's look at some of the benefits of cat's claw for specific health conditions. And like I just said, you'll find it in herbal products for arthritis. And one of the things about cat's claw, it's a rich source of sterols, which is chemical. These are chemical compounds that are closely related to steroids. So animal studies have found that the herb reduces swelling by about 50%. So think about it. You have here, you have sterols that are closely related to steroids, but they're not steroids in the chemical sense. Cat's claw can also be beneficial for bowel disorders. It can cat's claw can effectively actually detoxify the intestinal tract and actually replenish your friendly bacteria. We talked about before how having the good bacteria and the bad bacteria, and once your bad bacteria is in the majority, you're going to have potentially have a lot of problems. And so most bowel diseases are due to disruption in this beneficial flora. So if you can keep the beneficial flora up in the majority, then you're going to have far better or less problems with your gastrointestinal tract overall, especially in your bowel. And cat's claw is one of the herbs that can help benefit greatly with that. So if intestinal flora are not properly balanced, then this can also affect your immune system and have a lot of other issues there. Also, supports a body affected by cancer by stimulating the immune system. So we already said that it helps stimulate the immune system. So, of course, if you have cancer, it would be beneficial as it stimulates the immune system to destroy the cancer cells. The research actually also showed that this additional immune system boost, which is facilitated by cat's claw, actually allows some people to take the full course if they've chosen to take chemotherapy, needed to prevent the recurrence of the disease. So, also, cat's claw has improved outcomes of chemotherapy for patients with breast cancer, not only breast cancer but Hodgkin's disease, leukemia, melanoma, and squamous cell carcinoma. It can also function as an antioxidant. In fact, as an antioxidant, cat's claw actually supports the body during chemotherapy and radiation treatments and removes the toxic metabolites. So again, it's one of those herbs that if you've chosen to go with chemotherapy, and again, I've always made it a practice for you to choose. Even though I advocate natural medicine, I'm a big proponent of it. If I ever develop cancer, I would go the natural way. But at the same time, I believe that every person should choose. You should choose. If you choose to go the natural way, then that's your choice. You have that choice. If someone else chooses to go the allopathic way, but if you're a person, you choose to go that way, cat's claw is, if you choose to go the way of allopathic medicine and take chemotherapy and radiation, cat's claw is one of those supplements that can actually help offset some of the problems that the radiation can cause and help lessen some of the damage and also help in some other ways. There was a preliminary study in Italy that found that the herb actually stopped mutation of cells in long-term smokers. And again, we'll finish this up. There's not much more I have to say about it. But it's a very, very efficacious herb. It's very great against inflammation. I am essentially out of time, but I want to remind you that the show, if you want to catch it, will be available in about, if you came in late, for instance, or you came in the middle of the show will be available in about 10 minutes. The replay will be. I'd encourage you to join me next week at the same time, 7 to 8. And again, remember you can download the program to a CD, email it, the link to your friends and family members. I'm sure they will be able to extract something helpful out of it. Thank you. Have a blessed day.